Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host Cody and his rightful companion back there, Charlotte, joining us today, apparently.
Yep, she's here.
She's a good girl. She's allowed in.
Yep.
How are you today, Cody?
Oh, I'm frustrated today. Not only because of the Steelers stuff, because of work stuff, too, but that's beside the point.
Yeah.
That's okay.
We got a snow day, buddy.
We do. We have a snow day, which we get to make up for on Saturday.
Ouch.
Great. Great stuff.
That part's
great,
not great stuff. That part is not his favorite or mine, but since we were able to get done with our work day without actually having to work due to the fact that we got about 3 feet of snow in Erie today.
If not more.
And yeah, pretty much there's no driving around town and you can't even get any of the trucks that we drive out of the plant. So they just called it and said, screw it. We'll try again tomorrow. So we're getting a little podcast action to you earlier than normal because we're recording in the morning and we're not usually able to record until the evening.
Correct. So 11 o'clock right now. The whole day is our playground today.
That's it, man.
For sure. But how are you doing, James? How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I got a lot of exercise in already today. Been shoveling snow for about 4 hours. So
I feel that.
That's good, man. That's good. It's good for your heart.
Absolutely.
Unless you're really old, and then you usually have a heart attack and die.
Those are facts, James. Thank you for stating those for the class. let's talk Steelers real quick.
No.
Juju was officially activated from the IR, which was great news. This was something that James joked about on the last episode of the podcast that we didn't think would actually happen. But it happened. Not super involved as... I think he was involved a little bit, but not super involved, but Juju was activated and able to play.
They eased him into the plan. They didn't start him right away.
Yeah. Which was good. And then the Steelers also waived a punter, Corliss Waitman. So we did get to see Waitman say hasta la vega, whatever it is. I don't know.
Hasta luego.
Luego. Then because of, Presley Harvin was obviously back and punting well, I might add.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm personally hoping that this is an hasta mañana with with Corliss Waitman. I'm hoping he gets signed to a futures contract and they bring him back in to compete with Presley Harvin. Presley did really have a nice game, so it's good to see him bounce back from that because he struggled as of the later portion of the season. On with what he was going through in his personal life, that may have had a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
Because of all the guys that played in this game, at least we can say that Presley Harvin brought his A game to the playoffs. Not everyone did, but he did. So definitely appreciated his efforts in the game. The inactives for the game were pretty vanilla, would be what you would expect most of the time there. Dwayne Haskins, T-Gray Scales, who's like the number 7 middle linebacker on the roster. Carlos Davis, Anthony McFarland Jr., who has been a healthy scratch for about 4 or 5 weeks now. And then wide receiver Cody White. This is his first time being on the inactive list basically since he got brought onto the roster. But with both James Washington and Juju Smith-Schuster being available for the game, you still had Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, Ray McLeod. That makes Cody White the easy odd man out. So that brings us up to the actual game. That's all your pre-game news to be caught up on. So weird start to this game, Cody, huh? Who'd have thought at the end of the first quarter would be nothing to nothing?
Not I. That is for sure. I also wouldn't have thought that Pittsburgh would be the first team to score. So
that's where I was going next.
And
yeah,
I didn't
man.
Think that it would be the defense. Well, actually, I guess it's probably more believable that it was the defense rather than our offense, if I'm being honest.
That's actually fair.
Yeah. I don't know. Slow start again.
Yeah. Yeah, slow start for the offense. The defense, on the other hand, was all over it. You know, you had a lot of pass breakups from Cam Sutton, from Trey Norwood. We had a pass deflection by TJ Watt that went up in the air, and Devin Bush picked it off.
Yep.
And then that first score of the game, the Cam Hayward forced fumble, TJ Watt with the scoop and score, showing why he should be the defensive player of the year, man.
And I almost think that two players on that play should have got the it was a muffed handoff. Excuse me, muffed handoff because it was Mecole Hardman handing it off to the running back, I think, and then the player picked it back up, and then Cam hit him so hard in the back, punched the ball out.
Oh, he crushed him.
TJ picked it up and broke a couple tackles like his name was Najee Harris and made it in the end zone.
Yeah.
It was great to see that.
It was Derek Watt for a second there. I don't know.
Right, right. And I don't want to go too far into play-by-play right now, but like that was the highlight of the beginning of the game, and then it just got ugly. It got ugly quick. But for a lot of reasons, which we'll get into, we'll do our standard player by player breakdown and give our thoughts and inputs on specific players. But I think anyone that thought Pittsburgh wasn't going to have a chance in this or didn't have a chance in this, Pittsburgh proved that they could have made it work. I just didn't think they had enough gas in the tank, which is ironically what I think happened last year too. Now, again, I'm not saying that if they would have had enough energy or stamina or whatever, that we would have won this game. This game, we were out, we weren't good compared to them as far as position by position breakdown. They had better people than us, period. At every position. Yeah. At every position.
And the players played better. They did their jobs better. I mean, if you were to compare, say, the Steelers wide receiver group to the Kansas City wide receiver group, you'd think you had a college wide receiver group versus a professional group. Yep. Like, that's how big of a gap there was between the execution of their play on the field. I agree with you. I mean, there were certain guys on the field. Like, say, I would say T.J. Watt and Alex Highsmith were better than the pass rushers for Kansas City. They got after Mahomes all game long.
Yep.
But the Kansas City pass rushers did do a good job, and they actually put Dan Moore and Chukwuma Okorafor in some bad spots a number of times. So there was no area where we were clearly way better. And that's an issue. You gotta win some categories somewhere. Yep. And it can't be punting yards. That's not the one you want to win.
Although I think it was.
Yeah, that was it. I think the only thing, maybe more sacks by the end of the game, I think. But
potentially.
Yeah, that got to be way more than that to make it happen. That's for sure. So if we're looking at individual guys here, Ben Roethlisberger, I thought overall his performance, I didn't think was an awful performance. It was not an elite performance either. He was hampered by a lot of dropped passes in the first half of the game. Mm-hmm. By the time the wide receivers started catching the ball, they were already down by 3 or 4 touchdowns. And it's too late at that point. I saw a few times where we had just guys giving up on routes where they had the defenders beat. Yep. A lot of balls bouncing off of hands where if they would have caught the ball, they had plenty of room to run after they catch. Just very discouraging. Kind of stuff you expect to see in the preseason, not in the playoffs. You really wish that they could have been on their A game. It's been kind of a common theme for the Steelers the whole second half of the season. The wide receiver core just not putting the performance together. And I'm not saying that Ben has had an elite performance, because he's not. But it's been an adequate performance most games, with a much less than adequate performance by the receiver core. It's just frustrating to watch.
Yeah, and I think the part that frustrates me in the area where I say, okay, this is the big question moving forward, is this was a thing the past 2 years of Pittsburgh just getting outplayed. At what point do we need, like, where do you start to fix that? Is that a coaching thing? Is that a specific player position coach thing? Is that the players themselves? Is that the mentality that's in the locker room? Is that how you're managing practices? What is it? What's happening?
Yeah.
And how do you fix it? Because this is, I don't think this was specific to this team or this year's team. I don't think it was specific to last year's team. I think that this is going to be a continuing problem until they figure out what the heck is wrong and fix it.
Yeah.
Again, the problem is I don't think we know what's wrong.
And I think some of it too is the level of athleticism at very important positions. When you look at the wide receiver group and the cornerback room, both of them, we don't have fast guys.
Nope.
So when you go up against a team who does have elite speed at both corner and wide receiver, it really puts you in a bad spot. You got to have at least one or two guys that are really fast at those positions. And when you look at it, Pittsburgh has zero guys that are really fast at those positions. Most of the receivers that Pittsburgh have are 4-5 flat or 4-5, 5-40 guys, and it's the same in the corner position. Akilo Witherspoon's the fastest guy, and he was like a 4.49.
Yeah.
That's not blazing fast.
Not blazing fast at all, unfortunately. So again, I don't want to go too far here. We talked about Ben having an okay game, but not a great game. He threw for 44, or he threw 44 times for 215 yards. In comparison, Patrick Mahomes threw 39 times for 404 yards.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that comes down to whether this is play calling or Ben's decision making. I don't care. How many balls were thrown to or behind the line of scrimmage?
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, Kansas City did it too. But Kansas City has the speed to do it. Yeah, they're effective with it. Exactly.
Yeah. And you got to take advantage when you have these deep ball opportunities. You can't have receivers dropping balls, and especially, like, I know Pittsburgh runs a ton of slant passes, but when you actually have room on that slant pass and you drop the ball, that's something that you could have easily had a big play on. I mean, Chase had an opportunity deep where he dropped one, and he just really didn't make a lot of plays in this game. And then Deontay Johnson just straight up giving up on a ball where he had the defenders beat by two or three steps, just stopped running. Like, this is not something that you see other teams doing.
Nope.
It seems to be exclusive to our wide receiver group. And that's a real issue. And I think some of that is just that there isn't that veteran voice in the room to really speak up and kind of put these guys in their place. It's just a coach, and I think they're letting the coach's words go in one ear and out the other and just saying, oh, that's coach, he doesn't know what he's talking about. No, he does. And none of you are getting a second contract if you keep playing like this. There's only one receiver in that room I want back on another contract, and that's Juju.
See, there's only one in that room that I want back on another contract, and he's not probably getting one.
Yeah.
And that's James Washington.
Yeah,
I could live without Juju. I honestly could. I think at this stage, I haven't seen enough out of Juju. Even just the maturity level, the growth, the anything like that, that I wouldn't, don't get me wrong, I would love to have Juju back, but I don't like, it's not like a deep desire, like we have to keep Juju. I think that James Washington is a better receiver than every player on that team right now, as far as consistency goes. And we never gave him the chance to actually even be consistent, if I'm being honest. I know that kind of counteracts each other. But we saw James Washington come into this game. He led the team in yards with two receptions. And he was thrown to three times. The one wasn't a catchable ball. But
yeah,
two receptions, 37 yards, and a touchdown. Like, are you kidding me?
And both of them were contested catch situations where he towered over top of a defensive back to make the catch.
And not because he's taller.
I pointed it. Yeah. He's only 5'11". Like, this is not a 6'4" Chase Claypool. Like, this is a 5'11" James Washington just being more physical and high pointing the ball and showing good technique and fantastic hand strength. Yeah. Honestly, it's a lot of that is hand strength. And just being able to clamp down on it once you catch it so that nobody can knock it out.
And again, I've said this before. I think that I think they know what they have with James Washington. They wanted to get him to sign through long-term deal cheap. And I don't think he wants to stay with us. Why would you?
Yeah, I wouldn't if I was him.
No, a team just let you sit on the bench while you outplayed everybody from the bench.
Yeah, and you're watching the guys in front of you drop passes left and right, and then you're still not getting any opportunities.
Horrible.
What's the point of coming back?
Horrible. Pittsburgh?
I get it. I would take James Washington back as well. Like, I know I said there's only one guy I wanted back, and it's Juju. I would take James as well. But if you had the two of them, you'd have to add somebody with some serious speed to stretch field, because neither one of those are speed guys.
No.
But both of them very reliable guys who fight for extra yards. And win jump balls and win contested catches.
Yeah, there's your one and there's your two, and get a speedy slot guy.
Yeah.
And then have Freiermuth and Gentry, and I'm okay.
And you can still use Juju in the slot and put the speed guy outside. You know, you can move guys around. But, like, to me, Juju in this game, when used, showed a lot of heart. He fought for extra yards every single time he caught the ball. Dang near every catch was a first down. And most of the time, he was not past the markers when he caught the ball. He had to fight through it to get it. Yep. Constantly just twisting and powering and diving and stretching out for those extra yards. Just showing the effort that we just haven't been getting out of that room. And that's why I love the kid so much. Because his effort is through the roof. And he really leads by example out there on the field. And it's the kind of example that they need to have when they're having a lack of effort going on. I loved seeing him frustrated out there, honestly. when the ball got thrown to somebody else and they dropped it and he got frustrated that it wasn't thrown to him because of it. Like, I love that. I love that passion because he knows he would have made the play.
Yeah. Yeah. There's an aspect where I love his, I love that he does. So there's two things here. He does a good job of leading by example when it comes to gameplay and effort. I don't think he does a good job of leading with a voice. I don't think we have a vocal leader in that offensive group right now. I don't think
I can agree with that.
And I think that's a large issue. Ben was never that guy. Najee hasn't become that guy. Juju hasn't been that guy, nor do I think he will be. Derek Watt doesn't have a big enough role on the team to become that guy, even if he wanted to be that guy. Freiermuth's, I don't want to say he's too young, but no one's going to take a rookie seriously.
And and realistically, nobody, though, it is an age thing.
There's nobody on that offensive line who could do it.
Yeah. Who are you going to listen to on the line? Nobody's even good enough to go to the Pro Bowl.
Nope.
Like, so, yeah, I think that's kind of everything to talk about as far as the wide receiver room. We're frustrated with the lack of consistency and effort from guys like Deontay and Chase Claypool. And they're the number one and number two, which is bad. They'll both be back next year as well. So they could very easily end up being the number one and number two wide receivers next year. Yep. So if you get the same kind of effort out of them, I don't care if you put Patrick Mahomes on the Steelers roster, you're still not going to win a ton of games if the receivers don't catch the ball. So that to me is now all of a sudden something that you have to question when you go into next year. I wasn't really questioning the wide receiver room. Now I am.
Yep.
Now I am. Now I feel like even if you bring back, you know, Juju or James Washington, because I don't think they'll bring both of them, but you bring one of them back and you've got one consistent guy, but you need more than that. You need somebody that can stretch the field, and Chase isn't effectively doing it, and Deontay isn't effectively doing it. So you're probably going to have to draft a wide receiver again or get one in free agency. And that sucks because when you went 4 years in a row in the second or third round picking wide receivers, your wide receiver room should be set.
Yep.
And instead it's falling apart.
Yeah, Juju. So it went, correct me if I'm wrong, it went Juju, James Washington, Deontay, and Chase Claypool 4 years in a row.
Correct. Yeah, correct.
That's just sad, man.
And that's a lot of second round picks too.
It's a lot. It's a lot of guys that could have been offensive linemen that could have helped lead the way for Najee or protect Ben or whatever. Again, Ben right now is going to go down. Whether he plays another year or not, he's going down as the most sacked quarterback in NFL history.
Yeah.
Great job, Steelers, protecting your Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yeah.
I think that the handling of... Don't get me wrong. They've gotten good players in drafts, and we've praised the general manager for his drafting ability on players and talent and stuff. And sure, he's gotten some great guys. AB in the sixth was a steal.
Vince Williams in the sixth, that was a steal too.
But when it comes down to getting what you need to be successful, that isn't just the most talented guy that you can let fall back to the furthest point. I don't care. You got to get guys in there to win games. We haven't won a playoff game in over 10 years. Isn't that right?
If I'm no, it's not 10 years because they won that game against the Dolphins. I went to that one.
That might have been over 10 years ago.
It wasn't.
I'll have to check. I'll look into that and give it exact.
It was fairly recent. I know they haven't won in like the last 4 years, so it was probably 5 years ago.
It's crazy. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to say about it. I'm very upset with how they've handled things, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like over the tenure of Kevin Colbert, at one point in time, they prioritized offensive line early. And they did it to rebuild the offensive line. And you saw first-round picks on Marquise Pouncey, on David DeCastro. You saw a second-round pick on Marcus Gilbert. It's 5 years?
5 years.
Yeah, so five was the Dolphins game then. I only remember because it was frigid cold and we really beat the living bejesus out of them.
We beat us
earlier that year.
We actually beat the Kansas City Chiefs that year as well after that in the divisional round before losing to the Patriots. So,
yeah.
But five years that we haven't won a playoff game with the talent that's been in that room or in that locker room. Like,
yeah,
it's been wild and you just can't get the right pieces at the right time or get the right coaches. And I'm saying that very straightforward. We haven't had a good offensive coordinator since Bruce Arians.
Not good enough.
Nope.
I mean, Haley made some improvements. They scored a lot more points with Haley. But it, yeah, it's not enough. And again, the point I was making there when we got a little sidetracked. So you made some offensive line investment. You got a good offensive line together. And then when it started to age out, you know, when you lost Ramon Foster, you needed to start prioritizing it again because the signs were there. You knew you were going to lose Villanueva. You knew Pouncey was going to retire. You knew DeCastro wasn't going to be too far behind that. You traded Marcus Gilbert away for like a 6-round pick. It was starting to fall apart. And instead of prioritizing it with first and second round picks, they used some third and fourth round picks and figured good enough. Except none of them hit.
Nope.
The only one that seems to have been a hit for sure is Kevin Dotson. And that was just last year.
And he hasn't been able to stay healthy.
Yeah, he's had issues with injuries, unfortunately. Hopefully he'll be able to come back all the way next year. And Dan Moore looks like there might be some potential there. But, I mean, you missed with Gerald Hawkins. He was a fourth-round offensive tackle. Yep. Looks like Kendrick Green is a complete whiff. And there are a number of them in between as well where, you know, some of these guys just have to turn into starters. You need some Vince Williams-type guys on the offensive line. And we're not getting that with those mid-round guys. So that's where I think that Pittsburgh has to start prioritizing it again with first and second-round picks just to rebuild it back to the kind of group that when you go against Myles Garrett, you don't have to worry about him hitting your quarterback 10 times in a game.
Yep.
Because you're going to go against him twice a year every year.
Yep, it's going to be worrisome for sure. And there's going to be other players on other, like, there's going to be once every 4 years, we're going to play the Rams, you know, and then we got to deal with Aaron Donald. That the year we play that division, we're going up against Nick Bosa.
Yeah, and then you got Raiders and Max Crosby. And, you know, there's a lot of high end pass rushers in the league, and you better have really good offensive linemen to block them. And we don't right now. And that's definitely a big problem. It was a big problem for Najee in the first half of the game trying to run because he didn't have anywhere to go. Some holes opened up a little bit more later in the game, but it looked to me like he just wasn't all the way healthy. He didn't really look like he was ready for contact in that first half of the game. And then they tried using Kalen Ballage a bunch. Didn't get much from him in production. We saw a little bit of production out of Benny Snell late in the game. I thought Benny looked good, but at that point, they were probably in a much more... preventive, just everybody sitting back deep kind of defense, which opens up a lot more lanes and a lot more holes. The tight end group, I thought, really put a good performance together again. Every time they caught the ball, moving the sticks a lot. And when you threw it their way, they caught it.
Yep.
Again, you know, I don't know how many times we've said, you know, throw to the tight ends, use the tight ends. Like, I don't mean give them 3 or 4 catches each a game. Like, it needs to be more than that. Like, if you want this offense to move, if you want to get first downs, if you want to score touchdowns, you really need to take advantage of the fact that you have two guys that can catch and get yards after the catch.
Yeah, and you can't just keep doing on the stupid little hitch routes that are 5 yards here, 5 yards there, and want them to put... Let these guys extend the field like Travis Kelce and George Kittle.
Mm-hmm.
Freiermuth can definitely do it. Even Gentry probably could, if I'm being honest. They're both big individuals too. They're gonna make mismatches down the field. They're gonna stretch the field, and I understand that. Even going back to the issue here, maybe you're too worried about Ben having enough time to make that play work. Well, you know what? You got to try something different because what you're doing hasn't been working.
That's a fact,
or barely has been working. To clarify, we've won a lot of the last few games, but all pretty much barely, or losing this one, obviously. So.
Yeah, let's buzz through the offensive line real quick here. I thought Dan Moore had an okay game. He got beat a couple of times, but held up a lot of other times. At left guard, LeGlue was very up and down as well. Hassenhauer, I thought we had some issues with miscommunication between him and Trey Turner, where guys just came running free right between the two of them, like defensive linemen coming free right between the two of them. That's absolutely got to be cleaned up. And every time that happens, it seems to be between Trey Turner and whoever's playing center. So I'm starting to think that it's a little bit less the center and a little bit more Trey Turner. Because it seems every time he's blocking nobody and the center goes and finds somebody.
Yeah.
So that just makes me worry about that. But again, Trey Turner's on a one-year deal. I don't expect him to be back next year unless they can get him for real cheap. And then still, I think they should try to upgrade in the position in the draft or in free agency.
Yeah,
Okorafor got manhandled a number of times in this game. He didn't even finish the game. Joe Haig did. And I didn't hear anything about injuries with Okorafor. So that might have been a performance thing where he got actually benched. Still didn't get to see Zach Banner.
Nope.
So I don't know what they're planning on for the future for the offensive line, but it kind of seems like from center to right tackle, all is a giant question mark.
Which isn't good. In case you're wondering.
No, that's bad. That's very bad. If you need three new offensive linemen going into the next season, that's real bad.
And I don't know who's available free agency wise, but hopefully they bring in. They got to bring in. I don't want a veteran quarterback. I expect them to bring in someone like Mitch Trubisky, which I'm not looking forward to.
Yeah, I think like somebody like him or Marcus Mariota or one of those Joe mid-level Flacco. Guys. Yeah. I mean, I hope not, but
I hope not too.
I can see the red rifle coming to town.
Yep. But here's the thing. I don't even care what the position is. I don't care if you get a veteran fullback to sit behind Derek Watt for now. You need to get somebody who's a veteran who can be a voice to this team to motivate them, to keep them in a positive light. Because I'm sorry, Mike Tomlin's not doing it. Nor do I personally think it's his responsibility to. Some people have different views on head coaching and stuff like that. Like the coach needs to be the motivator, this and that. I think the players need to be self-motivated to a large degree. And if that comes from another player, I think that's fine. But I think when the coach has to motivate the players, I think it becomes an issue. I think those players need to get it.
Like Mike Tomlin always says, he'd rather say whoa than sick 'em.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to have to try to motivate guys. He wants to say, hey, that's a little bit too much. Let's dial it back some. So he prefers guys that are self-motivated and just like almost overeager to a fault. And you can't blame him because he's one guy. How are you supposed to motivate an entire team? You're a professional athlete. You should be motivated yourself.
Yeah. Money should motivate you. Come on.
Right. Yeah. If nothing else, if it's not the love of the game, for crying out loud, the second you sign a contract, you're a millionaire. So have some pride and you know, set your family up for years and years to come and play your ass off.
Yeah. Defensive side of the ball. Here we go.
Yeah.
Again, defense started off really strong. Very strong. I was so impressed with the way they started off. And I was like, holy cow, like they might make something out of this. You had the first drive that was halted with, I think, two batted passes. One was the last one on third down was Trey Norwood. It was just phenomenal. And
Cam Sutton had one too.
Yeah, Cam Sutton, I think, was second down, and then Trey Norwood was first down. They just played very well, very fast, very quick, very instinctive, if you ask me personally. They were naturally being in the right place at the right time, and then it just straight downhill from there.
Yeah, I feel like very quickly.
Very, very quickly. I mean, they finished the first quarter okay. But it didn't.
They held them scoreless in the first quarter, which I did not expect because Kansas City is one of the fastest stepping teams in the NFL.
I don't know if a team has done that all year.
They tied Dallas for the most points scored in the first quarter of any team this season. And we held them scoreless in the first quarter.
That's great.
Like, that was such a great start by the defense. And like we talked about with the interception by Devin Bush and then the fumble recovery from TJ Watt. I mean, TJ is involved in both of those plays.
Yep.
Showing, again, why he should easily be Defensive Player of the Year. But we're going to get into that. Not today, but we're going to get into that. This is just no defense can hold up versus Patrick Mahomes and all those weapons for an entire game. The offense needed to help him out, and they just didn't do enough early enough.
Nope.
Yeah, they eventually got going, but when you're talking, it's like, you know, midway through the third quarter before you finally start putting points on the board, it's just too late.
Yep, your defense can't hold up that long. Your defense can't provide, it's, like you said, especially against a team like Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, all those guys. It's just too
even Jerick McKinnon. Like, let's be honest, Jerick McKinnon had a hell of a game. That's a fast running back.
Yep, very fast running back. But I did love how the batted ball and interception came immediately after they missed a holding call on TJ Watt that they wound up calling face mask on TJ Watt.
So yeah.
TJ was being held, couldn't actually make the play, grab the guy's face mask, when in reality he's getting held up behind the arm. Face mask wouldn't have, more than likely wouldn't have happened had they called the correct penalty or both penalties either way.
Yeah, it should have been offsetting. Yeah. It should have been offsetting. I mean, and realistically, TJ got that face mask with one finger. So it's pretty tic-tac to call a face mask on that play. But it was very easily, at the least, should have been offsetting penalties for sure. Yeah.
I don't. So. I think the face mask was the right call. I think whether one finger or all five, it pulled his head. He got the face mask. But that holding call was so blatant. And if you can see the face mask, his shoulder.
You can see the hold.
Come on. Yeah. And the refs. Luckily, this wasn't the biggest ref blundage game that happened all weekend. The Cowboys game was much worse. But again, it's just, it was nice to see the defense come out with a little bit of oomph, or I don't even know.
Yeah.
They came out with
incredible, incredible effort from multiple guys in this game. I mean, Cam Hayward, let's be real. How many times did he run guys down from behind? You got a wide receiver out there juking up our DBs, and he knows. Like, Cam takes pride in running to the ball every play. That is a big thing coached by our defensive line coach, Carl Dunbar. The defensive line coach before him instilled that in these guys, too. Defensive linemen always run to the ball in Pittsburgh. It's their job. And they make a lot of plays downfield because of it. And there were a number of times in this game that Cam Hayward absolutely crushed somebody because they're too worried about juking up a DB. And then here comes big old Cam Hayward just annihilating you. I thought a tremendous effort from Cam in this game. We did get the sack that I predicted from Montrevious Adams. You asked me for a bold prediction. I said two tackles for loss and a sack from Montrevious Adams. We didn't get the tackles for loss. We did get the sack.
I almost got my pick for TJ.
Yeah.
Almost.
You had some tight end touchdowns too, but yeah, we don't use tight ends. So. No.
Apparently not.
We don't use our 6'6" and 6'8" weapons in the red zone because that would be smart.
I'm going to be honest with you. I was livid when I realized here's how frustrated I was with this game. Kansas City not only doubled our points.
Yeah.
An offensive lineman caught a touchdown because they were creative.
Yeah.
And a tight end threw for a touchdown because they were creative.
And they used that play that we were using a ton last year in the beginning of the year to do little shovel passes to Tyreek Hill for touchdowns twice.
Yep.
So we didn't identify.
The one wasn't Tyreek. The one was the McKinnon.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But yeah.
Same play though, just different guys.
And here's the thing. This league has very, very slowly, I personally feel, turned into a who can have the more creative play calling.
Yeah.
I'm not to say that it wasn't that way before. It was all about scheming and stuff, but it has vastly changed into trickery, making the defense think you're doing one thing and doing the other, which you can argue has always been the case. But when I think back to, you know, when they first started getting in the mobile quarterbacks and then running the option plays, and then you started seeing the wildcat when the Dolphins did that and did that successfully against New England. It is vastly, I feel like the vast majority of the league now has offensive coordinators that can call creative plays, and we don't. Not in the slightest. Our creative play is running the same play to the other side. That's our creative play calling.
Or calling a flea flicker, and then nobody blocks it up so you can't even throw the ball. Like, yeah, I hear you. There hasn't been a whole lot of trick play going on with Pittsburgh this year. And I think part of that is the ineffectiveness of the offensive line. And Matt Canada probably knowing that if he calls these plays, he's just going to get Ben murdered back there because these guys aren't going to block long enough or well enough. So I agree. The play calling needs to be more creative. And I think some of that also goes to the offensive line needs to play better. You need to be able to have faith that any play in your playbook, you can call it. You can't have, there's this entire page of trick plays, and I can't call any of them because the offensive line doesn't block well enough. That's not an option.
Nope.
You can't handcuff your offensive coordinator like that.
Nope. So very upsetting for that. Again, sorry, I went back to the offensive side a little bit.
No, you're good.
But you know, defensive line, we talked about Cam Hayward. We talked about Montrevis Adams. I didn't see a whole lot out of anyone else. Loudermilk played, had some good penetration a couple times, but just missed some tackles. Bad, you know, bad pursuit lines, this and that. Linebacker wise, we talked about TJ. Hands down defense player of the year. If he doesn't win it, it's crazy. We'll get to that on maybe the next episode of the podcast. I thought Derek Tuska played fairly well when he was in there.
Yep.
I was fairly satisfied.
He had a couple tackles for loss, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. He might have even had a sack, if I'm not mistaken. Or maybe he got to the, maybe he gained 1 yard or whatever. It didn't count as a sack.
But, yeah, I think he did.
But Derek Tuska is proving to be a potential valuable backup. I thought Alex Highsmith played fairly well. Alex Highsmith on one of the run plays shut it down. I don't think he got the tackle, though, but I think he held the edge fair enough that somebody else was able to get in the backfield and make a tackle.
I felt like he absolutely abused that left tackle for Kansas City in the passing game. Yep. He got to the quarterback a lot. He got a sack, and he almost got a couple other ones. And I didn't expect that. Honestly, I feel like Alex Highsmith really came on at the end of the year there. If he's able to ride that momentum into his third year, we might get that double-digit sack year out of him next year. But I wasn't disappointed with Highsmith at all. Thought he had a real nice game, and I agree with you on Tuska. I felt like he really got in rhythm as this season went on, and we saw some nice plays out of him in this game. And if you lose Taco Charlton in free agency, which I would expect him to go and try to test it, I think you can bring Tuska back on a minimum deal. I think he's still under team control due to how many years he's been in the league. I'm liking having him as a top backup.
Yep.
Yeah, I think this is a better quality backup outside linebacker right now than we had with Chickalo. And Chickalo was our best backup outside linebacker for like 6 years straight.
Yeah.
And I think right now both him and Charlton give you more.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong by any means. Middle linebacker wise, I still am not satisfied with Joe Schobert, although he didn't have a bad game. He didn't have a good game. Robert
Spillane. No, yeah, he at least had that one play where he shot through the gap and hit the running back in the backfield. I'll give Joe that one. But again, we got gashed a lot in the running game, and that a lot of times goes to your middle linebackers.
Yep. Devin Bush.
Nice pick. I saw some good hustle going sideline to sideline, and yeah. I felt like he played a little stronger in this game. So maybe some of that play strength is coming back for him. And I do feel like he did a little better in the second half of the year than he did in the first half of the year. But we needed to go back to what he was his rookie year. Otherwise, it's going to be another position that we're looking to replace.
Yeah. So who are the two starting middle linebackers were Joe Schobert and Devin Bush, correct?
Yeah. And then Spillane played a pretty decent amount.
Yeah.
So, and I know Marcus Allen got used in Dime a decent amount as well.
Yeah. So going down the list, Robert Spillane led middle linebackers with 5 tackles.
All right.
Then you had...
He probably played less than Schobert and Bush, too.
Yeah, then you had Joe Schobert with 2 tackles. And then you had Devin Bush with 1.
But he had the pick.
So give him the pick. But, like, your middle linebackers, a great middle linebacker will lead their team in tackles. I believe our team's tackle leaders are probably our safeties. Terrell Edmonds had the most
this season. Game. Absolutely. Yeah.
Terrell Edmonds had 6 in this game, which led the team. Mm-hmm. And which I was, Terrell Edmonds had an okay game. If you ask me, I was not upset with him this game personally, which I know.
Yeah. I didn't think that any of the big plays that were given up were his fault.
Nope.
I felt like it was just guys getting out athleted, honestly. So you know, Trey Norwood getting smoked, Cam Sutton getting smoked. These are just guys that aren't super fast.
Yep.
And we know that going into it, and we know that we have to give them help with safeties. So if we don't give them help with safeties, expect them to get burned. That's just the way that's going to work.
Yeah. Yeah, so again, I moved on to the safeties a little bit. Minka had 6 tackles as well, but one was an assist. Edmonds had 6 solo tackles. That was it for the safeties. The cornerback room, we saw Joe Hayden get abused a couple times. We saw good
unfortunately.
Plays. Yeah, we saw good plays here and there out of Cam and Trey Norwood, but not enough. Akilah Witherspoon, I was like, where is he? Like, is he playing? I didn't see much of him.
I'm with you on that. I didn't see much of Witherspoon, and honestly, I think it was a good thing.
And that's fair.
Because he was not the guy that was getting burned. So I have a feeling that Witherspoon actually put together a pretty good game because he didn't get thrown at. He was not the one being targeted, and I think that was a calculated move by Mahomes, to be honest with you. And I think it was a pretty smart one.
That's fair.
Yeah.
And that's the hard part about defense inside the ball. Sometimes when you don't hear about somebody, it's a good thing.
Yeah, it's like an offensive lineman. When you don't hear his name, he probably had a good game.
Yep. Yep. So, again, a lot happened in this game. A lot of things that the defense, I thought, could have played better late in the game. Very interesting to look at. Nobody scored in the first quarter, Pittsburgh or Kansas City. We gave up 3 touchdowns in the second, 2 in the third, and 1 in the fourth. So we slowly got better, but they also slowly probably stopped having to try as hard. But Pittsburgh was able to scramble a touchdown in all 3 of the final quarters. So they were just 1 quarter away from what I asked them. They just couldn't get in the end zone in the first.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Again, I think go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Complete your thought there.
No, I just think that's just shows how the year went. We started slow. Yep. Basically every single game, and then by the time we got into rhythm, it was too late.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't even say we got into rhythm in this game, to be fair. I would just say that scoring just looks the part of the year. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah. I can only agree with you on that. I want to note, just because I think it should be stressed a little bit here, the magnitude of the good game that Presley Harvin III had.
Yes.
So the last game that he played, he averaged somewhere around 37, 38 yards a punt, and his best punt as far as distance was 49 yards. This time his average was 49.7 yards and his longest punt was 56. So really improved, and that's varsity right there. Yep. If your punter's putting up numbers like that, you feel really good about it. That's the kind of performance that we needed to see before the season was over, to know that if Corliss Waitman doesn't come to camp and we end up with just a camp body going up against him, I feel good about Presley Harvin III, knowing that he at least finished the year out on a good note.
Yep. And again, we talked about this. James mentioned it even earlier in the show, what he was dealing with the passing of and the health issues that his father was facing, and then also his grandmother. Could have very, very, very easily played a factor into his playing performance. So happy to see him have a good game, even though the rest of the team pretty much didn't. So there's that.
That's fair, though.
This is just kind of how I put it, if I'm being honest. So we'll see what happens moving forward. We have a little bit
post-game. That's enough to the game talk. We don't want to make anybody too suicidal on a Monday here.
No. But Boz for president hit all of his extra points. Let's go.
Atta boy, Boz. So we're going to get into NFL draft season now. We're going to get upcoming shows here. We're going to talk a lot about the playoffs and what's going on with the other teams. We're going to give you recaps on that sort of thing and keep you up to date on how other teams are doing, but also keep on bringing you Steelers news, of course, every week. So the biggest piece from this finalizes where Pittsburgh's draft will be, their position in this upcoming draft, which they will have the 20th overall pick. So number 20 in the first round, that's a good spot, especially if you're going after an interior offensive lineman. That's usually about where you start seeing those guys come off the board, is in that mid to late teens, early 20s. So you might have an opportunity at one of the best guys in the draft at the interior offensive line. Just saying.
I think that the 2 quarterbacks that I would want are going to be gone by then too. So
most likely, yeah. At 20, I would be surprised if 3 or 4 quarterbacks aren't gone. So it might be one of those situations where you just kind of hold off on the quarterback position for another year and fill some of the other positions instead. Now, because I do believe that even though this year doesn't seem to be the elite quarterbacks that there are in some years, I feel like there's still going to be a decent number of them taken in the first round. And probably, again, like I said, at least 3 or 4 before Pittsburgh's selection. I don't know that I want the 4th or 5th best quarterback in this class. And if I do get the 4th or 5th best quarterback in this class, I want to get him in the 2nd round, not the 1st. I don't want to waste a 1st round pick on that.
Yep. Fair. Fair enough. So
last piece of news before we move on and wrap up the show here. Juju Smith-Schuster in a post-game interview. Juju.
Oh,
this guy.
Both the color.
Juju. We got some Juju representation here on the color rush. Both of us here. Juju says he would love to stay in Pittsburgh four more years. He loves the town. He loves the people. He loves playing for the organization. And he would love to continue his career there for four more years. And I think, obviously, I've made my opinion very clear here. I would love to see him back. I think, Cody, if you had the choice of having him or probably one of the other two starting wide receivers, you might also choose Juju.
I would choose Juju over Johnson or Claypool. I don't think I would choose Juju at this point over James Washington. That's my personal opinion.
I think you could get James Washington a lot cheaper than Juju, but I also don't think Juju's going to command top dollar because he just hasn't put enough out there the last few years. Yep. We've seen what he can do early in his career playing opposite AB, putting up 1,000 yards and lots of touched big plays, 97-yard catches,
yep.
Having kick returns for touchdowns. He's put a lot out there that shows he can make big plays. Whether or not Pittsburgh will invest big money in him, whether or not anyone else is, that's all guesswork. There's going to be a lot of that kind of talk coming up. We'll be doing positional recaps for you, and we'll talk about the free agents and who we are potentially going to lose, who we think Pittsburgh should bring back, and maybe even some targets as far as free agency, who we think Pittsburgh should go after, like, say, Denzel Ward or something like that.
Yeah, you've been saying that all year.
All season.
We can't thank you guys enough for listening, being part of this year's show, 2021 Steelers by Lake Show. We'll continue up until the first episode after the draft. So we will still be in that year 2021 until the 2022 NFL draft. So again, thank you guys so much. Be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Remember to subscribe and ring the bell. Until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.